You're Locked On Senators, your daily podcast on the Ottawa Senators. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm Jake Sanderson, and you're listening to Locked On Senators Podcast.
I'm Tim Stützle, and you're listening to the Locked On Senators Podcast.
Welcome inside episode 424 of the Locked On Senators podcast. I'm Ross Levitt, and on the outskirts of enemy territory in Winnipeg, Manitoba, alongside Brandon Piller up in the Blue Mountains on an Ottawa Senators game day. The Senators hosting the Vegas Golden Knights, a team who just made a superstar trade, but are without a few superstars of their own. No Max Pacioretty. So no breakaways, I guess, against Ottawa today. No Mark Stone, no William Karlsson, and the list goes on and on. The Senators, however, will face likely former goalie Robin Lehner, who's absolutely dominated the Sens since leaving in that 2015 trade. We'll get into all that. Full preview coming up of today's game, and we'll also get back to one of our favorite segments, our Sen Central Citizen. Luke Skinner will join the show. We'll ask how he became a Sens fan and a whole lot more. All that plus the Belleville Senators back in action and, well, it didn't go their way. We'll touch on that game as well. This is the Locked On Senators podcast, your team every day. Today is Thursday, November 4th, and Pilsy, breaking news. It appears that Nikita Zaitsev will be a healthy scratch in tonight's game.
Oh my God, that's the biggest news around the NHL today. That is wild. I mean, obviously DJ Smith listens to the Locked On Senators podcast. We've been talking about this for a long time, but that's a big move. So who slots in for him? How are we looking here? I'm not aware.
Kyle Bukauskas tweeting this out exactly 1 minute ago. We're recording at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. And the decor looks like this at the morning skate. Shabbat Zub staying together. Then Mete Josh Brown and Delzato with Nick Holden as the third pair.
I mean, you got to try it. That's the thing. So hat tip to DJ. He's not letting the contract and the veteran status kind of get in the way anymore. I think it was for a while. But like, here's the thing. Like how many in the video room when they're going over film, like how is DJ being like, oh, yeah, don't worry about that Zaitsev play. Ooh, this next one, yeah, that's fine, Nikita. Like, it's all good. Like, eventually, like, it's staring you right in the face. And it's like, okay, Pretty clearly the problem here is Nikita Zaitsev. So it doesn't, you know, it's not a detriment on him. It's just, hey, sometimes, sometimes you need a break, though. Like, if you're overwhelmed and obviously things are going your way, you need to take a step back, try something new, watch the game from above, see if you notice anything different, get a healthy break. Maybe he's banged up, I don't know. So this is a good thing, and I'm glad DJ Smith, this is what I like about DJ Smith. There's a lot of times where you can look at him and be like, oh man, he's just being a stubborn old hockey coach that's following the traditional rules. But eventually it seems like he does give in. You know, he can break. He doesn't just bend. He can break if need, and he can change what he's doing here. So I think that's a good move, and it'll be refreshing to see an Ottawa Senators team without Nikita Zaitsev this season.
Really telling, though, the fall from grace from a guy who was named to the leadership group just 2 weeks ago, and now after nine games, got no points, minus six, and his shot share numbers are absolutely brutal. 5-on-5, he's on the ice for 41.7%. of the shot share. So you look at all those things together and his average ice time, I'm not going to say that I could see this coming. I thought Josh Brown would be out of the lineup before Nikita Zaitsev, but this guy averaged 22.44 last year, 22.09 the year before. Those are his two seasons in Ottawa. Pilsy, through nine games, he's down at 17.15. So The message was sent that he's already 5 minutes below his average from last year. And obviously playing Shabbat has a lot to do with that. But to me, this is long overdue because the game has just not matched the contract for a lot longer than this season. But especially this year, the mistakes are just uncanny. Like he's putting grenades on guys' sticks. I was on the Smitty and Mitty show, this show out of London.
last night. And I said that when he makes passes, he's putting grenades on guys' blades. It's not smooth on the tape. So maybe going upstairs can help that. And I really hope so, because if Nikita Zaitsev is a better player than he's shown this year, safe to say the Sens are a better team. So the immediate reaction is that it's about time. Is it not?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing with Zaitsev too is it's really terrible that this is happening now, because this is probably the last year they need Zaitsev. And doesn't he have a no move, or there's some, his signing bonus, there's some sort of part of his contract that makes it very apparent for the Sens to trade him now. So they need his stock to go up so that they can get a good trade value for him. And clearly that's not what happens.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get great trade value anyways. He does have a modified no movement clause, but has had it since coming to Ottawa. He's got a 10-team no trade list, but I think his contract extends that list far past that. He does, however, have a $2 million signing bonus due this offseason and next, whereas the Senators acquired him right after Toronto paid a $3 million signing bonus. So Ottawa had him for $1.5 million in the first year, $4.5 last year, $4.5 this year. And although that is the cap hit, the last 2 years, as I mentioned, are $2 million each in signing bonus. So that's the future for Nikita Zaitsev, but the present will be Press Box, and that's where you can find him tonight. So the Senators' D pairs that we mentioned already, Shabbat Zub, it's listed here. TSN 1200 has Delzato Holden as the second pair. I would probably agree that's going to be more likely the shutdown pair, and then Mete with Josh Brown. Now, some great news. We're looking at different jersey colors, right? That's how you figure out Zaitsev odd man out. Well, guess who's back at practice today, Pilsy? It's Shane Pinto wearing a non-contact yellow jersey. How important is it for him to get back in the lineup here as soon as possible?
I don't think there's a single player that's injured right now that's more important, or even anywhere on the roster. Yeah, that's what I mean.
I was going to say, you got Mark Stone at a lineup coming to town, Max Pacioretty, William Karlsson, the list goes on.
Pinto's better than all of them, all right? but the Sens, they need a second-line center here, because as we're talking and looking at these lines, look what's happened to Tim Stützle. He's now down on the third line with Tierney and Ennis, which is fine, but it's mostly
argue that's a 2A, 2B situation, though.
Definitely, but the
especially
ice
when
time,
you have the Maurice Richard candidate, Chris Tierney, in the middle of that line.
Yeah, but the ice time is going to be affected, right? Because Brown and Nick Paul, we know DJ Smith loves those guys, so he's going to be putting them out more. So however you want to rank him is fine, but the ice time will be affected there. And it's because, no offense to Nick Paul, but he's not a centerman that can really get Tim Stützle going. I think Stützle can work with Brown, but as Paul, and he's not a natural centerman, Nick Paul, I would say he's a better winger. So to have him not only play center instead of wing, but also be a more defensive kind of physical center rather than a playmaking puck moving guy, I think it's harder for Timmy to adapt. So now that moves Tim down the lineup, and sure, he's going to be put with Tierney and Ennis, who suit him more, but he's also going to be playing less, which makes it a little bit harder to get in the groove and get that first goal, that monkey off his back. So I think Pinto not being here really shifts this entire team's dynamic.
It really does. And isn't that crazy to say about a 20-year-old centerman?
Like, who only has like a handful of NHL games.
Yeah, well, 11-3-1. So you do the math. When this guy is in the lineup, the team is a whole lot better. And I'm glad you mentioned Stützle and Formanton flipping spots. I think this could be as much praise for Formanton, who's on a two-game point streak and has looked really good over his last 3-4 games. And I think he does kind of suit that Paul Brown mentality a little bit more. They, of course, all combined on that great Nick Paul goal, the tip-in against, I almost said Dallas, against Minnesota on Tuesday evening. But what this also does is allow the creativity of Tim Stützle to gel with Tyler Ennis, who's third on this team in scoring. And of course, I mentioned Tierney, 5 goals. You kidding me? You kidding me with Chris Tierney? This guy's on fire. But those guys all together, and of course, Stützle will get his extra ice time on that first power play unit that was so good against Minnesota. You just hope that you get a better start tonight. Hey, Pilsy, like, we'll get into a bit of a preview right after our Sen Central Citizen, but on the fourth line, I mean, not a whole lot to say about that, although it looks like Logan Shaw out, Dylan Gambrell back in. So this will be the first time we get this set up on the fourth line where it's Gambrell with Zach Sanford and Austin Watson. Your thoughts overall on how this little bit of tinkering is going with today's lineup?
I was very surprised to see Shockham out of the lineup, Ross, because we talked about his faceoffs, and he took, if I remember correctly, I don't have the box score in front of me, but I think he took like 16 draws or something last game. Like, they were really relying upon him. Now, his numbers dropped, obviously, with more faceoffs. I think he was around 44% or something. So, with more usage, he wasn't as effective, but that's going to happen. But for them to take him out of the lineup was surprising for me. I wonder if this kind of hints towards him going back down to Belleville, especially, like you said, Pinner's on the ice practicing again. So, that's going to be interesting. But also, I do want to see a little bit more of Gambrell. He's kind of been a neutral guy. Like, he hasn't done anything amazing, but also he hasn't been an eyesore and made any dumb mistakes either. So with a little more time, and he's coming to, I mean, a new country, new team. So it takes time to start gelling again here. So that's something that I'm going to be looking for. And I want to see him kind of make an impact, like get a couple shots, win a couple faceoffs, like have some sort of positive impact here. So I'm going to be watching Gambrell for that, because I think that's a good fourth line. Like, I know that sounds hilarious to say, like, we got a good fourth line, look out. But Sanford, really, like, on paper, he shouldn't be a fourth liner. He scored 16 goals, and he's a Stanley Cup champion. Like, he should be a third liner, so having him on the fourth line should be good. Gambrell is a guy that lit it up in his junior years and plays a good defensive-minded game, good fourth-line center. And then Austin Watson is your prototypical fourth-line right winger. So, really, that's a nice line together there. So, it should be effective up against other teams' fourth lines.
And if you're wondering who starts in goal, Filip Gustavsson is in the starter's end, so you love to see that as well. Of course, we hope Murray's doing well health-wise. You never know what's going on with him, but they're carrying three goalies right now.
And I mean, Filip made Gustavsson. It through a game, so that's there you go. That's improvement.
Absolutely. So we'll have a preview of that game coming up after. But first, let's get to our Sen Central Citizen. It's been a while since we've done it, but you can bet it will continue. And speaking of betting, I need to get back on my horse, because it has been tough sledding for me as well as Pilsy's parlay of the day. It is tough times. You hear we had the Sports Equinox 25th ever this past weekend, where MLB, NBA, NFL, and hockey were all going. Well, that's come and gone. The World Series is over, but you can still get your licks in with the NHL, NBA, and NFL. So head over to betonline.ag, and our friends there want to give you a 50% welcome bonus. That easy, just because you're a listener of the Locked On Podcast Network. So here's how you go about it. Go to betonline.ag and put in the promo code Locked On. That's promo code Locked On for betonline.ag, and you'll just get 50% of what you put in. Bingo, bango, bongo. You put in $200, boom, that's $100 right in your account. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get into the action, and don't forget the promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. It's Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, here he is, our Sen Central Citizen. It's Luke Skinner. All right, we now welcome this week's Sen Central Citizen. We're going back to basics. It's a long time since we've had a friend of the show on. It's Luke Skinner. You can go follow him on Twitter at LPB. Skinner, Luke, welcome to Locked On Senators. How's it going today, man?
Not bad, guys. Thanks for having me. Really excited.
It's a long time coming. We got to meet you at the home opener. That was awesome. Well, let's start there, man. What a start to the year. Up 3-0 over the Leafs. You ultimately come out with the win. What was your experience like, first time in the building in like 2 years?
Oh, it was awesome. Like, it was just exciting to see the crowd and like actually a decent number of fans show up. And I think the best part was just, for some reason, the entire crowd decided that Zoo would be chanted like every time you touch the puck. And that wasn't discussed before. Like, that wasn't planned. It's just like all the fans just love the guy and just realize that we have to chant his name every single time he touches the puck. And that was just such a fun time.
Yeah, I mean, Zoob Nation's stand-up really took a literal sense at that point. And yeah. I'm glad he knows that we're not booing him. So that's
good. Yeah, I was worried about that.
Cleared up too. Yeah, and hey, Luke, this is a cool experience for us, because finally we've met a Sen Central Citizen in person and then have them on the show. So we're stoked to have you here. And how about that atmosphere of the home opener? Like, all these fans have been so deprived of hockey. It's the Battle of Ontario. They get up 3-0 in the first period. Like, how stoked were you that that's how the game started? Like, you must have been on cloud nine with the rest of us, eh?
Oh yeah, it was great. Like, I hadn't felt that atmosphere since like our last playoff run. Like, yeah. It hadn't felt like that in that building. And I went to a few of those games, and it was fantastic. And I went with my cousin, a buddy, and I guess future brother-in-law, and he's a Leafs fan. So it was a fun experience. Yeah. He's from over in Napanee. So I guess it's not his fault. Can't blame the guy, but I always take him to go see Leafs games. Cause it's a fun experience just to see his face get like more and more depressed as the game goes on. Cause even though they're way better, we always beat them. So
yeah, especially on home ice. I'm trying to pull up. I had the stat there. I think it's like 15-3-1 in their last 19 home games against Toronto. And that goes way back, but I'm sure your fandom goes even further back. What's your origin story? How'd you become a Sens fan?
Well, I actually became a Sens fan through my grandmother, which is like not the traditional way to do it. I think before I was born, but my mom bought my grandparents like a pair of tickets like pretty early on in the new team, I guess. And they went and they both fell in love with it. My grandparents, but especially my grandmother, they'd take us to games. They ended up getting like partial season tickets as well. And she'd get pretty into the games, like really into the games. There was one time after Sens lost to the Leafs at home that she was walking out and heard a Leafs fan being a bit too, I guess bragging a bit too much. So she just ran up behind him and gave him a big old body check.
Nice.
And she shut right up. He wouldn't say anything else.
Hey, is she a right shot defenseman? Maybe we can get her on the ice for the Sens here. Damn.
She also just like loved Alfredsson like so much, like to the point of like fault, like no matter what, it's just his hair is perfect. That was always what she was talking about. Like if it was buzz cut, it was perfect. If it was long, it was perfect. Like, there'd be no problem with it no matter what. That man can do no wrong. Like,
praise Alfie.
Perfect player. Yeah. And like, he was just like the best leader. Like even she was diagnosed with cancer a while back and he somehow figured out about that and figured out she was a fan. And he sent her like this framed autographed picture of him. Yeah. With like a little bit of like a little note written on the frame, which was super nice.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. She ended up beating that, but she was diagnosed later as well. And it was like when they were pushing for a playoff spot. And even though she was super sick, she decided to take like this huge, huge long sheet, like just like got to be like over 100 feet long and wrote "Go Sens Go" on it and put it on the front of her house. And I don't know how this happened, but somehow he got like sent a picture of that. So he wrote her like this long, like handwritten note. Like it was super nice. It meant so much to her. And I guess like that passion was sort of passed on to me and my cousin. And when Alfie left, like I know a lot of people were sort of like, I don't know, some people were kind of upset about it. There was like some animosity and stuff, but he did like more off the ice for us than like he ever did on the ice. And at the end of the day, that's really what it comes down to. Like, it's just a game, but that's what it's all about.
Yeah, wow, that's a phenomenal story, and one that just shows kind of these players off the ice, what they can do in the community that really elevates them from star on the ice to superstar legend. I mean, the guy's got the key to the city, and for good reason, too, being able to touch so many lives. So I got a feeling that Alfie's number one in your heart as well, but if you go back to when you started becoming a Sens fan, who are some of the other players that really jump out in your mind and say, like, that's my guy?
I loved Ray Emery, and I can't explain why. Like, I don't even know why, but I think I wrote him a letter at some point. I forget like how old I was, but I loved Ray Emery, and like, I don't know, Phillips and Neil, right? And Foligno, yeah. I like Foligno a lot too.
That's solid, man. Razor's my favorite goalie all time. The guy just had that swagger in goal. Hey, he was always raring to go. So yeah, some great memories of the past, but now in this team right now, right? You're in stage two of the rebuild, apparently.
I thought the rebuild was over.
Oh, right.
Hey, well, yeah, the rebuild's over. Come on.
Over. So what would be your next move? Let's say you're DJ Smith. I know Pillsy likes to ask this question. I'll let him ask the more macro one, but what's your next move? If you're DJ Smith, how do you get these guys pushing for wins rather than this skid they're on right now?
Like immediately.
Immediately.
Call Brännström up immediately.
All right.
Like, wow. I don't care that he's not doing great in the AHL. Gus sucks in the AHL too. Like, it's just a different league, right? Fair. Like, you can't really compare the numbers too much. He's not an AHL player.
No.
And call him up. And I know like the D is a temporary problem because we got some guys coming soon, but that's not going to solve all the problems. Like Sanderson will be good this like next year, but he won't be like amazing. And JBD is going to take some time. Thompson, who knows, but you need somebody for now, like someone to come in and be able to be solid now. And I don't know, maybe someone like 25 to 30, a bit more experience, but no one like, we can't just keep every year getting two absolutely terrible vets to throw away later and say it was a mistake. Like you can't just like, you own your mistake and then you do it again year after year. Like what's the point of that? So I'd get some, I know that's not DJ's role, but they got to figure out how to get the defects because there's nothing DJ can really do about it at this point if he's only working with losers.
So if they do call Branstrom up, who do you play him with? Because then this becomes a problem. Do you want to split up Zub and Shabbat? Or
no.
Do you see? Yeah, so then now do you put Branstrom with who? Zaitsev? Zaitsev has been a revolving door of terrible partners that hasn't worked. And then, I don't know, maybe you could get him with Nick Holden. That'd be all right. I mean, they I don't know if they actually did cross paths in Vegas, but they're both former Vegas players. So maybe there's some chemistry there. But yeah, what's your plan if you do call Branstrom up?
Oh, I think probably Nick Holden, I think. You give it a try for a game because I know Branstrom, like they've tried him on both sides and stuff, but you got to settle him on one. But I'd try him with Holden because then you have probably two solid like pairs, right? Because Zubin and Shabbat are stellar.
Yeah.
And Holden and Branstrom would be like probably good. I think it would work.
Hopefully well. Good. They can't be worse than what we got. Yeah.
Based on like how they play, right? Like I think it would be a good duo.
Yeah.
So Holden's going to be able to like hold the line and stay back, and Branstrom's going to do his thing, right?
So despite that maybe being a little bit further down the road, I don't know if I see Branstrom coming up in the next game or two. If DJ Smith continues on the path that he's on coaching this team and everything seems to, you know, grow a little bit, but maybe nothing drastic changes, do you think this team can push for that last playoff spot, or are we still a year or two away?
I think they could push, but they need a few things to fall into place, not even just like player-wise, but luck-wise. Like you need most of the players that have been iffy to step up, and you need Gus to, you have to play Gus, honestly. Like Gus will play well if you play him. And that's what's important. I know there's a problem with three goalies and Gus is the one on a two-way contract, but like if you don't play him, it just shows you don't want to win this year. And that's like really what it comes down to. But yeah, you need Gus to play well, and you need we need Pinto back ASAP, because look at the stats with Pinto and without Pinto. It's night and day. You need Pinto to be healthy and come back, and you need Brady to get back into form. He's really close. He's super close. Like you saw last game, he had some shines of skill there. But yeah, you just need everybody to step up, and you need Delzato to, I don't even know, not play or play better, or Zaitsev to sit, or I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing. The D is just such a complicated problem.
The D is a mess.
The solution.
Now I want to get into something you touched on though, is the goalies, right? Like, carrying three goalies, it's a tough thing. Teams have tried to do it, but then no one's getting enough ice time. But the thing with the Senators that's different than most teams that try to do it is Matt Murray is a wild card, right? Like he might be healthy one night. He could be healthy for half a game and then you're stuck. So do you think the Sens will continue to move forward here with three goalies here? Or do you think something's got to give and either they send Gus back down to the AHL or they try to sneak Forsberg through waivers?
Yeah. So I think Murray's here to stay.
Yeah.
For a couple of reasons, because they invested a lot into him and no one's going to want to pick that up. Right. Gus, you have to play him, in my opinion. You just have to. So I'd go with Gus and Murray and Forsberg. Like, I know he might not slip through, but I think he would, because he's like an NHL goalie, but he's not incredible, right? Like, he's not someone that will get picked up immediately, but I know that is still valuable. And I'm hoping that if they do try to send him down, that he does slip through, because you can't do this for the whole year.
Yeah.
And they've said like Gus's contract, is it next year or the year after where it goes to
next year's one way?
Okay. So like they have bet on him, right? Like he is the future for goalies.
Definitely.
If not in like a starter in a backup position, right? Like he is going to be that. why not just give him like a head start, right? If he's playing like a starter, like he's playing like a real starter right now.
Oh yeah.
So why not just give him an extra year and start him now?
I do the same, but yeah, you're right. In practice, especially if you're a goalie, right? Three guys, two nets, something's got to give here eventually, or you're not going to get enough reps here to be ready to go. Speaking of ready to go, you're heading to the game tonight, man, against a depleted Vegas team. You fired up again. We talked about being in the building now. Oh. You're back in there, and I'd say Ottawa's got a pretty good chance to win today. What are you hoping to see from the boys? Final question for me.
I think that they have to win tonight. Like, this is a sort of situation with like the Penguins and the Leafs, right?
We got a must-win game on our hands here. When they lost Skinner calling a must-win
to the AHL Penguins, and the Leafs lost that game, it was a pretty brutal sign. And we're honestly playing a team that's just as deep as that. Like, you got none of your star players, and you just lost another one in the trade for Eichel. So, and he's not going to be here till 4 or 5 months. So this is a must-win game, and this could turn like the tide a lot, because we've only had like one bad game, I'd say. Yeah. Everything else has been like close or whatever.
At least competitive.
But, yeah, and I'm hoping that like if the Sens play a competitive game tonight, they'll win. Like if you don't play a competitive game, you'll lose. And if you do play a competitive game, like you'll win. Like, we're not going to be walking out of this game tonight like, oh, we should have won that. Like, we were so close. Because if you show them our strength and like speed and skill, they got no chance. No chance.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that forward core is really weak. The D core is still good. So we'll see how it goes. Yeah. It's going to be a tough test for there sure. So, Luke, we want to thank you for coming on as a Sens Central citizen. Like I said, it's awesome to have met you in person and now get to do this. And, hey, enjoy the game and make sure you're cheering loudly. We need you.
Oh, yeah. We'll be calling you out next time we're in town. We got to get back together here and cheer on the boys. So thanks again for joining us, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Stick taps to Luke for joining us. Really great to get back to our Sens Central Citizen segment, eh, Pilsy?
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. And like I mentioned, it was just weird to actually have met him in person and now do this, because we've been doing this mostly over COVID time, so we haven't had that opportunity. So that was awesome. And how about that story about his grandma with Daniel really Alfredson? I mean, captain shit right there, right? Yep. Like, it's, you're a leader on and off the ice. You respect the fans that love you so much, and all it takes is a little bit of effort and you can make someone's day and you can make a lasting story and create a Sens fan through generations. Like, that was a generational fandom thing that happened, not entirely, but a big part, because Alfie was willing to go the extra mile there. So that's the kind of stuff you love to see. And shout out Luke for sharing that story with us.
Really does show how sports can bring people together like nothing else. So we love that, that Luke was willing to share that with us, and we appreciate it. If you see Luke at the game tonight, tell him what up, because he'll be there. The Senators hosting the Vegas Golden Knights. And would you have believed me if I told you before the season that Ottawa would only be 1 point behind Vegas? Already 9 games into each of their season. Ottawa, 3-5-1 record. Of course, they haven't done well in the last few games, that 1-1-1 on the road trip. Whereas Vegas, they come into town with a 4-5 record. And last time they were in town, they had just fired their head coach. Yep. They replaced Gerard Gallant with Pete DeBoer. This time, they just make an absolute, I was going to say highlight reel, blockbuster. That's a word. Thank you. Trade. They have acquired Jack Eichel and a third-round pick in exchange for Alex Tuch, Peyton Krebs, a first,
top 10 protected,
and a second. So what are your thoughts on the trade? And then we'll get into tonight's matchup.
Well, first off, I think initially people say it's a weak trade, but everyone needs to be reminded this is how trades for superstars go. Like, you don't trade a superstar and get a superstar in return usually. Like, almost never, unless we're talking about, like, I don't know, even that's not a great example. But at the time, like Callahan for St. Louis, straight up, right? That was kind of a, all right, hockey deal here. Whereas this, there's so much more to it. And you have to understand, like, Jack Eichel, this is a guy making $10 million for the next, I think he has 4 years left. He's had serious ankle problems. He's still working out a neck injury that won't have him recover for, I think you said it, 3 to 5 months or something, right, Ross?
And they're hoping that he's back on the ice in 4 months practicing.
Yeah, so that's still a long time till he's here. And
sucks, he's going to miss the Olympics.
Yeah, well, I mean, for Canadians, that's
not yet, true.
Not the worst thing.
Open spot at forward at U.S. too for maybe number 9 in Ottawa instead of, I don't know if he's going to wear number 9 in Vegas, but he wore it in Buffalo.
Yeah, so that'd be all right. And also, Buffalo has like no leverage in this situation, right? Everybody knows they got to move him. Everybody knows they can only do so many moves. Like only so many cup contending teams can fit $10 million in salary into their team without ruining their roster, right? Which Vegas was able to do this. Tuck is already injured, and the only roster player they lost was Peyton Krebs, and Vegas doesn't give a crap about prospects anyway, so they're not really too concerned about that. So I think if you're the Buffalo Sabres, really the big win here is you didn't retain any salary because you still have to deal with that Jeff Skinner contract, so you can't really be retaining salary and paying Jeff Skinner $9 million to score 10 goals a year. So I think that was a big win, and it's just this dark cloud is gone. The sun is shining in Buffalo now. They don't have Jack Eichel looming over them. And I'm a big fan of Peyton Krebs. I think he can be a big deal. And you start looking at their center depth now. You got Cousins, Mittelstadt, and Krebs. Like, if those guys pan out, damn, that's a nice 1-2-3 punch down the middle. So if you're the Buffalo Sabres, and then you get guys like Jack Quinn, they've got guys coming up the pipeline here too. So if you're the Buffalo Sabres, I think you made out okay here. The main thing is, Jack Eichel was never going to play another game for them. So they had to move on and they had to get something. I think they did okay here, where I think they really, well, I guess it doesn't matter too much, but top 10 protected seemed a little aggressive for me. How many, as Sens fans, how many trades have we seen where a team goes all in and then that first round pick ends up being a top five pick? And especially with Vegas having most of their core injured long term. And like you mentioned, they're similar spot in the standings as the Ottawa Senators. So that pick could be a good pick if things keep going down and this snowball keeps rolling here. So I think it was an interesting trade. I'm glad that it's over. Now all the speculation's done. I'm sure Jack Eichel's stoked, and it's so on brand for Vegas. So this trade really kind of makes a lot of sense here.
You think that it takes a little bit of the focus away from tonight's game? If you're in that locker room, obviously the talk is all going to be about their new acquisition.
Not really, though, because your new acquisition is not available, and you've lost a roster player, right? So I don't think it's going to have that effect. If anything, it's, well, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see what kind of effect it has, because it doesn't have a direct impact. Whatever impact it would have would be like a mental impact, right? So that's going to be interesting to see. But Ross, I don't know if you've looked at the Vegas forward lines here. We're like, the Sens are basically going up against the Henderson Silver Knights forward group here. Like, Dadonov and Smith and Marchessault are kind of the only...
Oh, Dadonov revenge game.
Yeah, daddy revenge game. Look out. He's going to be playing with so much pace to show DJ Smith what he can do. But yeah, those are about the only three NHL roster players playing for this team. Well, Chandler Stephenson is actually pretty good. I shouldn't cut him short. But other than that, it's pretty damn thin. So Ottawa, if I know I'm jumping ahead a little here, but my key to victory for the Ottawa Senators is to dominate in the neutral zone. Like, where the defense core is still very much intact for Vegas, in the neutral zone, when it's mostly these guys, like, yeah, Nicholas Roy, top centerman, Will Carrier is on your second line there. So I really want Ottawa Senators to dominate in the neutral zone when they should be going up against a weaker forward group here.
How about Micah Mattio? Another revenge game on our hands here. Just picked up on waivers from the Toronto Maple Leafs. So a pair of former Ottawa Senators here. And if you're listening to the podcast, wherever you download yours, it's Nicolas Roy. Pilsy, a little en français on there. In between Jonathan Marchessault and Riley Smith. Chandler Stephenson between Will Carrier and Evgeny Dadonov. The third line, Micah Mattio between Keenan Kolesar and Matthias Janmark.
At least they got Janmark back. He was on the shelf too, and he's a decent player. So.
Exactly. And then on the fourth line, Jake Lecicin and Brett Howden. Not sure if they're going to go 11-7, but the decor looks like it's going to be Nick Hague and Alex Petrangelo, Alec Martinez and Shea Theodore, and Braden McNabb with Dylan Coughlin.
That's a solid decor stick.
It's still solid. Now, in goal, we expect that it'll be Robin Lehner. And if that's the case, Pilsy, do you still think after all these years, Robin Lehner gets up a little extra for his games against Ottawa?
Absolutely. I would say he probably gets up for these games more than anyone, even though it's been so long. Because he... And now, I'm not sure where he was at with his off-ice situation.
He said, quote, "I was a shit show in Ottawa." So
There you go. So, like, I mean, both sides maybe play some blame here why things didn't work out. But I think he definitely feels like he could have done better in Ottawa and that maybe they shouldn't have shipped him off to Buffalo. I think he's probably holding a little resentment for that. But he's a guy that definitely plays with emotion. So he definitely is going to be getting up for these games.
It will be his 15th game against the Ottawa Senators. He's 8-0-3 with a .939 save percentage and a .184 goals against average. He's got one shutout in there as well. And just looking back, I mentioned the last time Vegas and Ottawa played against each other. It was a 4-2 Vegas win in Ottawa. That was the Mark Stone return game, his first game back in Ottawa. And he had a goal and an assist. Shocker. Marc-Andre Fleury picked up the win. And it was Craig Anderson who made 39 saves on 43 shots. But Pilsy, that's not even the worst. If you go back further to when Vegas and Ottawa first played last year, Anders Nielsen made 52 saves on 54 shots. Oh my God,
I forgot about that.
And it went to a shootout. It was a complete beatdown, and it was a five-round shootout. Marchessault ends up winning against Ottawa. However, Thomas Chabot in that game scored his first goal of the year. Now, that was in the sixth game. Chabot, although playing very well, still looking for his first goal. He's my locked-on player tonight. I think that he breaks that goose egg. A nice cannon from the point here. I got Thomas Chabot scoring. What's your locked-on player? And then we'll get out of here as we head into a Senators game day.
Well, I don't want to go back to Formy, but I just want to do an honorable mention of Formy. Okay. Getting second line minutes is a Noted. Big deal. So I'll kind of go back on what I was saying before. My locked on player is going to be Gambrell because I want to see what he can do here with Pinto getting more healthy. Like, his spot is kind of in jeopardy here. So, and I'm not sure where Clark Bishop is in this process, but I'm sure he's got to be getting closer here too. So that fourth line center job and Logan Shaw, they haven't sent him down yet from what I know. So he's still vying for that job as well. So Dylan Gambrell, he's got to make sure he's making it worth DJ Smith's time to keep him in that spot. So he's going to be my locked on player tonight.
And your lookout player, for me, it's got to be Evgeny Dadonov, not to take the low-hanging fruit, but I need to see what kind of pace this guy is playing with in his first game back in Ottawa.
Yep, that's definitely a good one. I'll give you that. For my locked-on player, I'm going to go with Nicholas Hague. He's okay. Someone that I've been very interested in. He's a big shutdown defenseman, and he's getting to play on the top pair with Alex Petrangelo. So, like, obviously Vegas is saying, like, hey, kid, we might not trade you. We might actually keep you instead of trading a first round. He's a first rounder, isn't he?
Yeah, early second, I think. Early second.
Okay. So high-end prospect. So we might actually keep you here. So let's see what you can do. But he's a guy that I'm always interested in because having a big shutdown young defenseman like that is so worth it. So I'm going to be watching him.
So we start the news of the day with Nikita Zaitsev, healthy scratch. Turns out he's somewhat healthy. And I knew DJ Smith wouldn't just take him out of the lineup just because he's absolutely brutal, although All fans are ready to. The quote is, there's a cold thing going around, and Zaitsev isn't 100%, so he That's is fair. Out, and Holden comes back in. Shaw comes out, the umbrella goes in. They said they'll announce the starting goalie tonight, but Gustafsson, again, was in the starters. And so the Ottawa Senators are 3-5-1 on this young season, but they're back on home ice where they're 2-3. So can they get back to .500 at the CTC? We'll discuss it tomorrow morning. We also are joined by Gord Wilson from TSN 1200. Goody's going to stop by and take us into the weekend. We'll ask what it was like being in the United States for the first time in almost 2 years. Check in on him. If you didn't listen, the last time he came on was on his 50th birthday, and he didn't even tell us. We had to find out. So this guy's an absolute beauty, Pilsy. Can't wait for that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Sen's legend. And every time we've had him on, it's been a blast. He's a lot of fun. And
great storytelling.
I was going to say, we usually get a good story or two. So definitely look forward to that.
Stay tuned for that and more. But for today, we say goodbye. For Brandon Piller, I'm Ross Levitan. This has been the Locked On Senators Podcast. Your team